We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Who will the Sabres draft?
The type of defenseman that pretty much 31 teams in the National Hockey League want these days.
Actually, we're pretty sure we know who they'll draft.
He's the best defenseman I ever coached by far.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents the NHL Draft.
Coverage of the NHL Draft is presented by Losi and Ganji, workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. And brought to you in part by Outlet Liquor. Stop in and stock up at New York's only Outlet Liquor. And by Al Ross, for all of your screening, printing, and embroidery needs.
All right, good morning. 11:01 is the time here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Welcome into a special edition of Sports Talk Saturday. Brayton Wilson here with you hosting this week as the Buffalo Sabres are down in Dallas right now for the NHL Draft. And of course, last night, in case you've been, sleeping under a rock, the Buffalo Sabres with the first overall pick finally making things official with drafting defenseman Rasmus Dahlin out of Frölunda in the Swedish Hockey League. Dahlin is, of course, the second Swedish player ever taken with the first overall pick. He's the first defenseman to go first overall since Aaron Ekblad just about 4 years ago. And Sabres have got a franchise defenseman now. Well, that's a position that has been long overdue here in Buffalo, and they've been trying to find one for several years. It hasn't come about, and now Rasmus Dahlin hopefully will be the next superstar franchise defenseman that he has been highly touted to be from many people around the league. And the Sabres got him. What a great day it was yesterday. I was down with Brian Koziel at Party in the Plaza, and the Sabres fans came out in full force. They were excited. They were happy. They, of course, cheering every time that they'd see Rasmus Dahlin on TV before he was drafted. They were booing every time that Gary Bettman came up on the TV. They booed any time that the Dallas Stars showed a highlight of the Stars winning the Stanley Cup. So a great night last night, and hopefully today, this afternoon, the Buffalo Sabres will continue to add on to their stock here in their depth in their organization, as they've got six picks coming up today, one in the second, two in the fourth, one in the fifth, one in the sixth, and one in the seventh round. Of course, they do not have a third round pick this year, but they do have Minnesota's pick in the fourth round. 803-0550-1888-550-2550 are the numbers this morning for you to chime in. Feel free to call in with your thoughts on how the draft is going, how excited you are for Rasmus Dahlin. I also want to get into a discussion on the possibilities of Ryan O'Reilly if he gets traded, whether he gets traded today. It's usually day two of the draft. There's still some good trades. I mean, last year there was the Travis Hamonic trade. I was kind of looking up a little bit of history of trades earlier with the Flyers. The Flyers have a history of making trades on this day exactly. They traded Mike Richards and Jeff Carter on this day back in 2011. They traded James Van Riemsdyk this day back in 2012. Scott Hartnell on this day in 2014. And last year, this was the first day of the first round of the draft last year, they traded Braden Schenn. So maybe today they'll decide to trade somebody else. We'll see where it goes. But let's go to Dallas right now, and let's check in with our own Paul Hamilton, who is live from Dallas as he awaits the Sabres to make the first selection of the second round and get things started. Paul, good morning. How are you down in Dallas?
Good morning. I don't know what the holdup is here. The Sabres should be on the clock right now. Jim Gregory did roll call from the NHL. He skipped the Sabres. They're here, but he skipped them and roll call, and he's nowhere to be found. The Sabres, by all means, actually should have already made the pick by now, but they were still just seeing highlights from the NHL season right now, so don't know exactly what the holdup is here. I can tell you, when I got here, I saw Rasmus Dahlin and his mother wandering around FanFest. They're just wandering around. He's got his Saber jersey on, and they're just wandering around.
Do you think he's gone to sleep yet?
I don't know, but nobody was bothering him. I mean, he was just hanging out, and it was kind of funny to see him out there.
Didn't the draft yesterday, didn't it seem like it took a really long time for it to get going yesterday? I know that they have these pregame, pre-ceremonial things that they want to do, but, I mean, isn't it just they want to get this going, get out of there, and then get back to their respective cities?
Yeah, they have the, and I see somebody heading to the podium now, they have the honored the Humboldt Broncos, which I think... you know, it was proper. I was appalled at how the fan behavior here. Mm-hmm. I totally understand you want to boo Gary Bettman, but the booing started while this ceremony basically was still going on because Bettman was approaching the podium. I thought it was completely and utterly classless and inappropriate. You got to be better than that, folks. As far as people that were in this building booing, you have to understand the moment. You have to understand what's going on. Gary Bettman's going to be at the podium all night long. There are going to be plenty of opportunities to boo him. You don't boo him while you're honoring the Humboldt Broncos.
And, I mean, it was an unfortunate circumstance there, but you got to give the NHL credit for the amount of honoring the Humboldt Broncos, what they've done, not only here at the draft, but also the other night at the NHL Awards. They did a nice tribute for them. Darcy Haugen won the Willie O'Ree Award. It was the first ever Willie O'Ree Award handed out, and he won it, and his wife addressed ever. The NHL has done a fantastic job honoring this team and really putting it out there that, you know, the hockey community is all with Humboldt.
Absolutely, and they had put it out there a couple of months ago,
right,
that about, you know, NHL play-by-play people and people that have done NHL games each doing a game for Humboldt during the season, and I told them I'm all in. I mean, if there's a weekend or we're on our bye week or something, I'll pay for my way out there. I don't care. I would absolutely love to do a game for them. I would be honored, and I hope they call me.
Yeah, that would be great because along with you, there's been plenty of others that have been interested in calling a game for them. Of course, they had lost their own broadcaster during the terrible tragedy, but good on the NHL for doing their due diligence and honoring this team just because, you know, stuff like this. And I mean, I've never had the experience, unfortunately, but I know, Paul, you had the experience, and I know that others that we are very close to have had the experience of riding in these junior buses and going from town to town and, you know, going to hockey games. And it truly was a tragedy around the entire hockey world, not just here in North America, but it was felt all around.
And you never even think about it. I mean, we had our trip to Colorado, Iowa to Colorado every year. You know, we played Air Force and Colorado College, and you never thought about it. I mean, we were in the bus for 14 hours. It didn't occur to you that something like that could happen. At least it didn't occur to me. I'll speak for myself. It seemed like that's your safe place with your teammates, and you know, you play cards, you do all sorts of things, you have fun on the bus, and you just never think of something like that happening.
Well, Paul, looking ahead to the draft today, to rounds 2 through 7, the Sabres, of course, picking with the first overall pick in the second round here. That is, unless they decide to trade the pick, but after the pick here in the second round, we've got a little while to wait for our next pick, don't we?
Yeah, we'll see what they do, unless they move down or, and again, I told you somebody was approaching the podium, but he got halfway there and walked away. So, again, I still don't know what this delay is about. We're already delayed by about 9 minutes here, and if you're right, I mean, everybody would like to get this going. It does go fast once it gets started. This usually is over between 1 and 1:30. So they get these rounds in quickly, and it goes quickly. But, you know, if the Sabres were to move down, maybe they could get into the third round or get another second-round picker. You never know what could happen there. So it'll be interesting to see if they get themselves, because they have the first pick in every round except the third, which is a trade with Minnesota, where, you know, they gave up their pick there. So they don't have any extra picks, and they're basically using their own picks all the way through this draft except the third round.
Yesterday, a relatively quiet day on the trade front. No player-for-player trades, just picks being exchanged between teams. Paul, do you think that anything's going to pick up today, or has the have you gained any sense that things have died down? What are your thoughts from being there, and if you're hearing anything.
Well, you can't go by all that. I mean, if you would have gone by yesterday, you would have thought 15 trades were going to be made, and basically none. All the only trade, you had the Grubauer trade,
right,
and then you had picks for picks. You know, nothing that's all that interesting to anybody unless it's your team,
right,
that's making it. So, and I've that's my experience at these things, and Bottrell was talking about it in the morning when we were chatting with him, that you can't predict this. Just when you think it's going to be crazy busy and there are all sorts of people moving, nobody moves. And that, I think, a little bit of what was going on yesterday. And that's the thing. I think a lot of people are just throwing darts, hoping they're going to be right. You know, oh, O'Reilly's going to go here. He's definitely going to go. Next thing you know, well, the O'Reilly thing's cooled off. Now Skinner's going to go. You know, and I think it's just people. There's pressure on these people, these insiders and everything. There's pressure for them to, you know, come up with information, and some are more credible than others. And, you know, where, you know, Pierre LeBrun is usually pretty good. McKenzie and Dreger are usually pretty good. Elliot Friedman, 50-50 at best. I mean, he has his problems when it comes to that stuff. And he comes up with the obvious. He comes up with the stuff that you've already thought of yourself. And, well, maybe this could happen or maybe that could happen. So, you know, he's not that big of a deal. But, you know, LeBrun's good and McKenzie's good and Dreger are pretty good. But, you know, even the stuff they were talking about not so far, and I want to stress that, nothing has really come to fruition.
Right. Paul Hamilton joining us live from Dallas here on WGR. He'll be there covering the rest of rounds 2 through 7 later on today. Paul, there's a tracker, I guess, that's up on the NHL Network in their corner on the screen here. There's about 3 minutes and 20 seconds left until the apparent start of what they're going to be doing. So I don't know why they're taking this
long.
So
maybe they decided it was going to be an 11:15 start and didn't tell anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, they just
except the NHL. The only ones they told was TV. They didn't tell us.
Yeah, you know, they wanted to get a little pregame in before things started going all to heck there. Paul, what do you think? What do you think they go with here with the pick number 32? Of course, you address a huge need in Rasmus Dahlin with the blue line. Do you think they look to maybe add another piece to the blue line, or do you have any thoughts in particular where you think they should go?
I think it's speed, speed, speed. I think that's the number one thing they're looking for. And if you're a slow player, you probably are not going to be drafted by the Buffalo Sabres this year.
Mm-hmm.
Bottrell talks about the best player available. And that's the thing right now. We're not talking about guys that likely are going to be in the lineup this year. It's possible, but not likely. So you're looking at down the line, especially as we get it. By the time the Sabres make their next pick after this one, it's the fourth round. Well, if this guy ever makes the NHL, we're talking about 3-4 years down the road.
Right.
Well, what are your needs going to be then? I mean, you can't go by what your needs are right now. I think when you can go by what your needs are right now is in the first round, and you can do it also in free agency and in trading. You know, that's when I think you're looking at what do we need right now? What can help us? And sometimes in trading, you are looking for the future. But Jason Bottrell knows, he has said it many times, that last year wasn't good enough and they have to make changes. Right now, the changes have been, you have added Dahlin, you have added Pilot, and you have added Hickey. You have subtracted Fasching, you have subtracted Josephson, and you have subtracted Robin Lehner. Not good enough yet.
No.
I mean, that's a start. And Hickey, you know, is a good skating defenseman, so he would be a guy that eventually could add speed depending on where he is in his development. Is he ready for the NHL, or would he need time in Rochester? He is going to be at development camp on Wednesday, but he does not have a contract. He cannot be signed until after July 1st. Jason Bottrell had told me last Friday that he is comfortable, is the word he used, that they'd be able to get something done. They have until August 15th to get something done, but using the word comfortable like that and saying that he's going to be at prospects camp, that doesn't tell me that it's going to turn into a VC situation or a Cal Peterson situation.
Right. It certainly seems like that both sides are willing to negotiate, and hopefully by the time that July 1st comes around, when, you know, the clock strikes noon, they probably have a scheduled tweet saying that that he's signed a contract. But we'll have to wait and see. Well, Paul, the clock is ticking down to zero here, so we'll let you get to work. Enjoy the rest of this draft, and I'm sure we'll be talking with you and maybe a player or two that the Sabres draft coming up here.
Yeah, there. Bill Daly's at the podium now. He is talking about Jim Gregory, who takes on the second day of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if I have the headset on, so I wonder if he might be retiring. He's been along the NHL for a long, long, long. I remember my memory of Jim Gregory. Remember when Dominic Hasek took a swing at Jim Kelly, the writer, a long, long, long time ago.
I remember hearing about it. I don't remember, you know, the entire situation, but I remember hearing about that.
Well, next thing I know, Jim Gregory is back at the arena. And he said to me, he goes, I turned around at the bridge and came back. I was listening to you and heard what happened. And he goes, I came back. So that's my memory of Jim Gregory.
Very good. Well, Paul, thank you. We'll check in with you in a little bit later. And maybe, again, we'll hear some from some of the players. And, of course, you'll be busy talking with, eventually, Jason Bottrell at the end of the day and the players that the Sabres select. So we look forward to your coverage today.
Okay, we'll talk to you in a little bit.
All right, Paul Hamilton joining us live from Dallas, Texas. Again, Bill Daly currently at the podium right now. And we will get you the first pick of the day. Of course, that is courtesy of Buffalo. They're picking 32nd overall. Some good names here coming up for the Sabres on the board, as a lot of some intriguing names fell off the first round board, which a lot of us thought that they could go in the first round. They didn't. And we'll see where it goes here for Buffalo, what they want to do. And Paul makes a good point, though, pretty much saying that if you don't have speed, you're probably not going to get drafted by the Buffalo Sabres. And Jason Bottrell, of course, it's the mentality that, hey, everybody, you know, everybody here is pretty much going to play with speed and skill. We have to fit today's NHL game. And if you don't, then we're not going to draft you. And I could totally respect that. That's the way that things have to be. The game completely changed after the Pittsburgh won their first Stanley Cup and how people saw how dominant they were against San Jose, a team that, yeah, while they still possess some good speed, they couldn't keep up with Pittsburgh's speed and skill. And the Buffalo, and of course, Buffalo saw how Pittsburgh won it the next year, too. And, of course, they get Jason Bottrell in here. And Jason Bottrell, of course, is of that mind that, hey, we got to keep up to date with today's NHL. We have to get ready to go, and we have to be fast, skilled, smart, have to see the ice well. Just a bunch of those different things that that makes you successful in today's NHL. Tim Murray wasn't willing to do that after Pittsburgh won. And I think that was partially part of the reason that he got fired. Sabres are officially on the clock for pick number 32. So at this point now, we're just waiting for them to give the okay to start making these picks. And away we go. As Paul said, it is very, very fast. This rounds 2 through 7 should be over within like 3.5 hours. But we'll have you covered here on WGR. We will hopefully hear from a number of these players that have been selected. We'll also hear Jason Bottrell's comments from yesterday coming up while we've got some time to wait between pick 32 and when they pick next in the fourth round, which I believe is pick number 94. It is pick number 94. Then they'll have pick 117. That's Minnesota's fourth round pick. And then from there, Buffalo will pick 125th in the fifth round, 156th in the sixth round, and then at 187 in the seventh round. The Sabres have actually made their selection, and it is Matthias Samuelsson, a defenseman. He played with the U.S. Under 18 development program. So the Sabres have kicked things off, taking a 6'3" defenseman in Matthias Samuelsson. He, big kid. He played at the U.S. All-American Prospects game. So they're showing the highlights right now on NHL Network. So the Sabres kick things off with Matthias Samuelsson. That is the first pick. That is pick number 32. And now we've got a little bit of a lull here as we are going to have to wait until pick number 94. And Matthias Samuelsson, he is an American. His father is Swedish. He played in the NHL 813 games. I believe I'm saying this right. Kjell Samuelsson? Kjell. K-J-E-L-L. if yeah, and we're pointing it out here on Twitter. Some people are pointing it out that yeah, it's an American-born Swedish kid. Yes, that is very true. American-born Swedish player. And now the Red Wings are on the clock. So again, we will have to wait a little bit here as the Sabres will continue on with the draft here. And the Sabres, again, getting another defenseman taking. So Buffalo takes Dahlin, of course, number one. And now they take Matthias Samuelsson with the 32nd overall pick. Just want to check here real quick and see if he is a right-handed shot, left-handed shot. He appears to be a left-handed shot. So another left-handed defenseman for the Sabres. They're stockpiling a bunch of left-handers, which is not a problem. As long as you can play the right side, one of them being Rasmus Dahlin, he can play the right side. So can Lawrence Pilot. Apparently, Matthias Samuelsson is committed to Western Michigan University. So he'll be going there as a freshman next year. Last year with the U.S. Under-18 program, he had 11 goals, 31 points in 58 games. And then in the USHL with the U.S. national team, he scored 4 goals and 10 points, or in 14 points in 23 games. So a big defenseman for the Buffalo Sabres. Again, Elite Prospects has him listed at 6'4", 218 pounds. And, of course, the Buffalo Sabres will have to wait until the 94th overall pick. A little bit of breaking news from around the NHL, which maybe can start to swing the trade pendulum a little bit. According to John Rosen, he is the LA Kings insider for Fox Sports West. He has reportedly tweeted that the LA Kings have agreed to terms with Ilya Kovalchuk on a 3-year contract. All right. So, and the Kings are making it official pretty much. They are saying that the KHL's leading scorer and Olympic MVP, Ilya Kovalchuk, will join the Kings in 2018-19, agreeing to terms on a 3-year contract. Kovalchuk, again, can't officially sign until he gets to July 1st. So he'll sign. He will join the Kings. And at least I guess the good thing is that you can look at this and say, well, Ilya Kovalchuk's going out west. I would have rather had Ilya Kovalchuk go out west and stay out west and not have to be in the Eastern Conference and for the Sabres not to have to face him 4 times a year. 803-0551-888-550-2550. The Sabres, of course, making their pick. It's Matthias Samuelsson, and NHL.com has him listed at 6'4". So we'll stick with 6'4". I said 6'3 earlier. Matthias Samuelsson, 6'4", 218 pounds, played with the U.S. National Development Team this past year, and he will be going to Western Michigan University coming up in next year for his freshman year. He's 18 years old, 2000 birthday. He was born in New Jersey, and he was ranked 39th by HockeyProspect.com. He was ranked 38th by Future Considerations, 31 by ISS Hockey, 39 by McKean's Hockey, and he was the 21st skater by NHL Central Scouting for North America, and also ranked 31st by TSN's Bob McKenzie. So the Sabres stocking up on the blue line, and they, of course, get Dahlin with the first pick yesterday, and then they have Matthias Samuelsson now with the 32nd pick. Passing up on a few interesting names that I had brought up earlier this morning. He was a guy that I didn't know if the Sabres would have interest in, but some of the names that I had tweeted out this morning, if you don't follow me on Twitter, it's at BJWilsonWGR. Bodie Wild was the name that I think a lot of people remember from that All-American Prospects game here in Buffalo. He's a kid, though, that he has had some issues with committing. He committed to Harvard, then decommitted, and then he committed to Michigan, and now he decommitted from there, so there's still some unanswered questions about where he's going to be going. Thank you to the texters that are bringing up that it's pronounced Shell Samuelsson. That's Matthias's father, Shell Samuelsson. So good deal. Again, Kings making it official that Ilya Kovalchuk is going to be signing with them. 3-year deal. Of course, he can't officially sign with the team until next Sunday when July 1st comes around and the clock hits noon. So that will be one of those, as we like to call in the media world, that was a scheduled tweet. So at noon, they'll probably announce, hey, you already know this, but we've signed Ilya Kovalchuk to a 3-year contract. Good for the Kings, though. Good for Ilya Kovalchuk. He was always one of those guys that I always thought was a fun player to watch here in the NHL. When he left, I was kind of upset. Just like, it's kind of one of your more exciting players, a guy that a lot of people can talk about. And he just left to go back to the KHL. Did well over there. Won a championship. I think he won 2 championships. But now he's coming back to the NHL at the age of 35. It would have been great if he would have came back last year, but, he would have had to have get traded. He would have had to have gotten traded from Detroit and New Jersey. I was scrolling through Twitter here and saw that Detroit just made their pick, and they took Jared McIsaac, a defenseman from Halifax. So, actually, Detroit taking 2 players from the Halifax Moosehead in the queue, taking, of course, Philip Zadina with the 6th overall pick, and then they here at 36, they take Jared McIsaac, a defenseman. Picks are going way off the board here fast. So the Sabres made their pick about 9-10 minutes ago, and they're already to pick 40 with Edmonton. Some notable names going off the board here early, but David Amber from Sportsnet expects Kovalchuk's deal to be similar to Patrick Marleau's, $6.25 million per year for a guy that hasn't played in the NHL for a while. Okay, good deal. Ilya Kovalchuk going to the Kings, and Edmonton just made their pick here with the 40th pick and waiting to get the pick here. Edmonton goes with Ryan McLeod. So the younger brother of Mikey McLeod, who was drafted by the Devils 2 years ago in the first round, Ryan McLeod now is going to be heading out to Edmonton. 803-0551, 888-552-550. We still got a while to wait before the Buffalo Sabres make their next pick with the 94th overall selection. But, of course, Buffalo with the first pick in the second round selecting defenseman Matias Samuelsson from the U.S. Development Program. He will be heading to Western Michigan next year. And hopefully, of course, we'll be hearing from Samuelsson coming up at some point with our own Paul Hamilton. And who knows, maybe we'll get the chance to talk with Samuelsson here coming up on WGR. 803-0551, 888-552-550. We'll be back with more of day 2 coverage of the NHL draft right here. Brayton Wilson with you on WGR. All right, back here once again for day 2 coverage of the NHL draft on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you, going to take you all the way through until the end of round 7. Right now, currently, we're at pick number 45 in the second round. Bodie Wild going 41 to the New York Islanders. Jack Drury, the nephew of Chris Drury, former Sabre, goes 42nd to Carolina. Ugh, yuck. I just realized that just did not sound right. 43, the Islanders were up again, and they took Ruslan Iskakov. Iskakov. There we go. Sorry, my Russian isn't exactly that great. Albin Eriksson goes 44 to the Dallas Stars, and just recently, actually, with the 45th pick, Scott Perunovic, an American defenseman, goes 45th to the St. Louis Blues. Perunovic actually was just in Buffalo this past winter for the World Junior Championship playing for the U.S. So Washington now on the clock with picks 46 and 47. And then Ottawa will be up with pick 48, followed by Columbus at pick 49. 803-0551, 888-550, 2550 are the numbers here. If you have any questions, have any comments about the draft, about trades, why there isn't a trade yet, when's O'Reilly going to get traded? If he gets traded, feel free to call in, chime in with your thoughts. We're open for discussion today. We definitely want to get everyone's thoughts in if possible. I just wanted to bring up real quick about what's been said about Matias Samuelsson. This is from the Hockey News draft preview. And he was ranked number 31 by the Hockey News. So right around the area where he was drafted. So Matias Samuelson, of course, they list him in here as 6'3", 2'16", and on NHL.com, he's 6'4", 2'18", but we'll stick with the 6'4". Here's what the Hockey News had to say, a little bit of what they had to say about Matias Samuelson. If you want to tease a scout this year, ask him to pick between Samuelson and teammate Keandre Miller, who I believe was selected. I can't remember when he was selected. I've got the tracker here. Give me just a second. Keandre Miller was selected with the 22nd pick by the New York Rangers. The Rangers traded up to 22 to get Keandre Miller. So if you want to ask between the two, both Team USA defensemen have excellent resumes but are vastly different. Miller has raw potential, whereas Samuelson looks like a solid, can't-fill prospect. Here's a quote from the scout. He's going to play for a long time, top pairing or top four guy with a nasty streak, soft hands, high IQ, and good footwork. He's the son of former NHLer Shel Samuelson. Matias is committed to Western Michigan University, where his older brother Lucas just completed his freshman season. Matias also captained Team USA at the World Under-18s, and there's just a lot to like about the kid that has so much going for him already. Another quote here from a scout. Quote, he has size and good poise with the puck. He can keep the play going, and he gets pucks through to the net. He has the makeup to be a really good NHL defenseman. What I don't like is that he's casual. He gets a little sleepy sometimes. Problem is that anytime that I read some scouting reports about players who play in the under 18 program, that seems like a very generic scouting report on players that are playing with the under 18 program at the from USA Hockey. They're not consistent enough. They're sleepy in when they play on the ice. They don't show up every night. It seems like familiar, I should say. The last thing they say here is, assuming Samuelson can shore up that aspect of the game, the sleepiness part, he's going to be a very solid pro in the not too distant future. Okay. I'm good with that. Sign me up. Matias Samuelson, the son of Shel Samuelson, who played over 800 games in the NHL, is now a Buffalo Sabre, pick number 32, and hopefully coming up here soon, we'll hear from Samuelson with our own Paul Hamilton, who, of course, is down in Dallas right now, live from the NHL draft. He will provide you with live coverage throughout the morning and into the afternoon. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Let's hear from Jason Bottrell last night. So, of course, last night after the draft was over, we had already gone off the air. Jason Bottrell was addressing the media after a really exciting day for the Buffalo Sabres, picking, of course, Rasmus Dahlin first overall. Bottrell got the chance to speak with the media. Here's some of what he had to say.
You go through the process to obviously make sure you're going to make the correct decision. And I thought our staff did an amazing job throughout the year. And look, there was so many talented players at the top of the draft. But there was always a situation from the start of the year. Rasmus was a player that we were sitting key on. And we obviously loved what he did on the ice. But then you get to meet him off the ice, and just the passion level that he has, how humble he is as a person. Just very excited to have him part of our organization right now.
It's funny when we talked to him, he said, "Yeah, I like playing a fast game, but I'll do whatever the coach says." Yeah. And that probably doesn't surprise you.
Nope, he's looking for a lot of feedback. He has an enthusiasm, a passion for the game, and I know our fans in Buffalo are certainly going to be excited watching him over the next few years.
Everyone knew this moment was coming, but I mean, when he finally put the Sabres jersey on, he seemed overwhelmed, very emotional. What was it like just to see a kid so happy?
No, it didn't surprise us at all. Obviously, in our conversations with him, he's been extremely passionate about coming to Buffalo, hearing about new things about Buffalo. The fact that he spent the World Juniors here, I think, was very nice, and just to get to understand the city a little bit, for sure. But it's exciting for us that we can now talk about Rasmus. It's all out, and we can talk specifically just how much we like about things on the ice, how much things off the ice. We can start now planning things for the summer and preparation for the start of the season here now.
Every chance he gets, he talks about what his family means to him. You and Terry both went up into the stands to welcome them. What did that mean to you?
Well, it's obviously a big part of him, and it's a situation where the only way we're going to have success moving forward is if we become a more cohesive unit, and a cohesive family as a group here. And it's the one thing that I've absolutely loved working for the Pegulas is how they treat my family, how they treat my wife and my two little girls. And it's something that we're trying to create here now, too, just with our players and the management. And, a very exciting day for their family. You think about all the sacrifices they've made as a family to get to this point. And there's a lot of more work to be done, but it should be a celebration today.
Was there anything that you learned about him at the Combine interviewing that you didn't know that really you love about him?
Well, look, I think our staff had done a pretty good job of getting to know him a little bit behind the scenes and giving us information on things. But, you know, just in sitting down with him, having dinner with him, and just how articulate he was with even the Pegulas. You know, sitting down there, being able to, English not being his first language, but still being able to communicate extremely well with him, and just how polite he was about things, and just how he was able to articulate his feelings to, you know, people that could be a little bit intimidated by sitting down with the owners of an NHL team. So just how he handled himself in a situation like that was very impressive.
Talk about the fans. How do you try to temper their expectations for this young man?
Well, it's obviously, today can be a big celebration. We can have move it on next week too at our development camp, which is going to be a lot of fun to see. He's a young player. He's 18 years old. There's high expectations down the road. But it's going to be imperative for us to protect him and put him in the right situations so he can have success. And the draft is a great thing. You're bringing, you know, players into your organization that you're very excited about, but it's all in projection. Now it's our job as an organization, not just with Rasmus, but whoever we pick tomorrow, to help them develop and achieve what people are talking about from an expectation standpoint.
It's a long-term pick. How much expectation?
So you liked our team a lot last year, eh, Mike? Look, but that's why we find, you know, I do believe he can come in and contribute to our team, but you can't expect an 18-year-old to play against other teams' top lines or in crucial situations all the time. And that's why, you know, it's so critical for us and not only the success of our team but the development of Rasmus to have people like Bogosian, people like Jake McKay healthy, because we have to surround him with better players and to put him in right situations to help his development.
When Jack showed up as a rookie, he spent his first season with a veteran player and his family.
Yep.
Would you like to see that in
Rasmus? We've actually had some players offer that already after we won the lottery, which was great to see them reach out from that standpoint. We've had some discussions already just about those possibilities. We're going to set that. We'll have more discussions about that over the next couple of weeks here. But we also have to understand there will be a transition coming from Sweden to the United States, 100%. I can't even imagine myself at age 18 going over to Sweden. But you also have to understand, but like Rasmus, he's been on his own since, I believe, 15, living on his own since 15. So it's something that they're very accustomed to in Sweden.
How surprising was it there were no trades?
Well, I think it's a situation where there's always a lot of talk, and like we've talked about before, sometimes things come to fruition. Sometimes it's nice talk that's going on out there, and you never know what things are going to get set up for possibly tomorrow or even next week as we, you know, move it forward. But I think it was just a situation where maybe after the first couple picks, a lot of teams' lists were different. So on one hand, you can say, well, I'm surprised more teams didn't trade up, but I also think a lot of teams just felt, hey, I'm going to get one of the players that I really like if I just stay where I'm at.
Fair to say that you're in that position then?
Pardon me? No. We certainly had communication throughout the day on some different things, but overall we just enjoyed picking Rasmus.
So how is your list looking right now then for tomorrow?
Well, it's a situation where we'll go back, grab a bite to eat, and reevaluate with our amateur staff, but we've always known getting at number 32, we're going to get a quality player. And there's still some players that we're very excited about that's on the board. We'll communicate a little bit more and make a final decision. Look forward to starting the draft off again tomorrow.
You think you'll get some calls on 32 before it happens?
It wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, teams all do the same thing. They go back and sort of reevaluate things in the draft, and sometimes there's a little bit more excitement. Hey, I can't believe that player's still there. And that's a situation where we'll talk to other teams to see if we make a move, but if we go ahead and make a pick tomorrow, we're very excited about a couple of the players that we could have.
Talking about wanting to reconnect with the fans and
I'm well aware of the passion level that our fans have, and you know, as a player, I felt it. As an executive on another team, I still felt it coming into Buffalo, and I saw it this year. Obviously, it wasn't our team, but you talk about one Buffalo, the passion, and when the Bills made the playoffs, and we're well aware we have a lot of work to be done here in Buffalo, and it's been tough to be a Buffalo Sabres fan, but. Today is not something to look on the past. Today is an exciting day for our organization. And not only the skill that Rasmus is going to bring to our organization for years to come, but I think you've seen it in his quotes, how excited he is about coming to the city. Can be part of not only Buffalo, but be part of the Sabres organization, be part of our community. And that gets the Pegulas and that gets me very excited.
All right, that's Jason Bowe from last night. We will hope to hear from Jason Bottrell once again later on today after the day two of the NHL draft has come to an end. 803-0551-888-550-2550 here are the numbers as the NHL draft continues to roll along here. The Buffalo Sabres, of course, taking Matthias Samuelsson with pick number 32 in the second round. Sabres now will not have a pick until the fourth here as the second round continues to roll along. We'll catch you up a little bit on some of the notable names that you may recognize in the second round here. Let's see. Jonathan Berggren goes off the board right after Matthias Samuelsson with the second pick of the second round. He goes to Detroit. Then Detroit goes Jared McIsaac, a defenseman from Halifax, so he'll join his teammate from juniors, Philip Zadina, along the way. Jet Wu, one of the more interesting, fun names of the NHL draft. Jet Wu, he goes to Vancouver with the 37th overall pick. Ryan McLeod, of course, the younger brother of Mikey McLeod of the New Jersey Devil, goes 40th to the Edmonton Oilers. Bodie Wild, a name that we had all kind of talked a little bit about, he went 41st overall to the New York Islanders. Jack Drury, again, the nephew of Chris Drury, goes to Carolina, as much as that really hurts to say. He goes 42nd overall. A couple of other notable names here. Jonathan Tychonic, he's a defenseman from Western Canada. Good moving defenseman, smaller, but still good puck moving skating defenseman. He goes to Ottawa at pick 48. Akil Thomas goes 51 to the LA Kings. And the last few picks here, Kalen Addison goes 53 to Pittsburgh. Then we have Benoit Olivier Gruel. He'll go 54 to Anaheim. Kevin Ball goes 55 to the Arizona Coyotes. And then Jacob Olofsson goes 56 to the Montreal Canadiens. 803-0551-888-552-550. When we come back from the latest Buffalo Sabres pick, that is Matthias Samuelsson. He had the chance to speak with Paul Hamilton. We will get that for you coming up next here as we roll along with day two of NHL draft coverage right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. All right, welcome back here. Day two coverage of the NHL draft on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you. We're going to get you Matthias Samuelsson in just a second. He met with the media, including Paul Hamilton down in Dallas. Just wanted to remind you that our draft coverage here on WGR Sports Radio 550 is presented by Losi and Ganji, workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. And brought to you in part by Outlet Liquor Store and by Al Ross for all your screening, printing, and embroidery needs. We did have a trade recently. Wasn't anything special. Pittsburgh moving up. Let's see. Six spots? Yeah, six spots. They move up six spots from 64 to 58, and they also give up an additional pick later on in the draft. And with that pick, of course, they took Filip Hallander, a Swedish centerman. And currently on the clock right now, Vegas with their first pick of the entire draft. And it's pick number 30. It's the second to last pick. So we're almost done with the second round of the draft already. And then we'll head into the third round. And then Buffalo will come up with the first pick in the fourth round. And then they'll have an additional pick in the middle part of the fourth round. That's Minnesota's fourth pick. That was as part of the Marco Scandella trade. that we will be seeing Buffalo select here. 803-0551, 888-550-2550 are the numbers here if you wish to get a hold of us. Coming up, we'll hear from Matias Samuelson when we get back from the break. And also, we will continue to cover the NHL draft here for you as we are closing in on the end of the second round. We'll be approaching the third round very shortly here. And, of course, that will be kicked off with Minnesota picking with Buffalo's pick at number 63. And that'll kick off the third round action here. So 1 hour in, and we have already got the second round pretty much all wrapped up here in Dallas. And, of course, we'll be live with you all the way through. And we will continue on with the NHL draft coverage coming up next for you here. I also want to talk about trades because there's been a huge lack in trades, and hopefully there'll be something coming up, especially now that Ilya Kovalchuk's off the market, but I think the real person that we have to worry about is John Tavares. We'll get more of that when we come back. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. You're listening to Sports Talk Saturday, the special edition of Sports Talk Saturday, the NHL draft edition with myself, Brayton Wilson, Derek Kramer's running things on the board. You're listening to WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.